Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by NanaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. NanaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, September 7th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage of Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, and, of course, as always, gardening and how to take care of all your vegetables you get out of your backyard. Isn't that awesome? I'd also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by NanaPro.
Everyone has heard of NanaPro, but not everyone knows that NanaPro is a company that makes the care and nutrition of your animals the absolute highest priority. The animals in our lives are a lot of things: pets, friends, providers, gardeners, and entertainment. So we want to take care of them with the same dedication with which they take care of us. That's why NanaPro is 100% committed to one thing above all else: nurturing life. Visit NanaPro.com for more information.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, the incubation specialists. Brinsea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years.
They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
And I do know I enjoyed the long weekend. We got really a lot accomplished around the house, Jen and I did, but we had plenty of time to just lay around and relax. Well, I don't really do a lot of just laying around. That's my OCD. But we did have time to just, have a little fun and hang out and, again, get a lot of things done that we needed to get done. And it's now time to welcome my co-host, Pat Foreman, author and poultry advocate, to see how her long weekend was. Hey, Pat.
Oh, hey, Whisper. My weekend was similar to yours. I just kind of let things happen, and it was absolutely wonderful, and I still got things done that I kind of wanted to get done. With the schools just starting, Little Lexington, Virginia, was just hustling and bustling with students from Virginia Military Institute and Washington and Lee. They were all coming back, and the parents are there, teary-eyed, waving goodbye to their kids, and it's just a... I just love the atmosphere here. There was a big football game with BMI, so that what was a sleepy little summer town is now hopping like crazy. Yes, it was a wonderful weekend. I am right now, as we speak, I just crossed over the New River Gorge, and I'm headed to Indiana. So I'm in West Virginia, and so I'm not sure if I'll lose my signal or not, but just about that 1 o'clock, I'm going to hit that little slalom that goes through the really curvy hills in West Virginia, so I'll probably have to sign off then. So just to let you know, I'll keep the signal as long as I can. But, hey, one of the things I found out, though, was for guess what? You'll never guess what. Remember, I told you I was going to go help Back Home Magazine with their booth up at the Pennsylvania Renewable Energy and Sustainable Living Festival. It's September 17th, 18th, and 19th. Yeah, we're going with Richard Trudenberger, who's on our show course twice a month. Well, I talked with Philip Jones. He's the organizer of it. Richard suggested I give him a call. I'm going to be giving 3 talks at dinner, 1 talk a day at the festival. So I'm so excited about that. Of course, I'm going to talk about how to employ chickens, you know, get them out of the coop and put them to work in your gardens and as clucking civic workers to save taxpayer dollars. So I'm so pleased about that. This is going to be better than a cruise for me going up to this festival. Yeah, you got to come up. Maybe we can have a Chicken Whisperer booth there as well. What do you think?
I completely agree. That's awesome. I wish I could come up there and join you. I love things like that, and it would be really, really fun. I wish I could join you up there and have some fun. So that's awesome. You're going to be doing that. And, wow, three events a day. That's pretty busy.
Three talks. That's right. I was absolutely amazed. He goes, well, we had some extra time. I'm giving one up Friday at 11, Saturday at 4, and Sunday at noon. Friday at 11, Saturday at 4, and Sunday at noon. So any Chicken Whisperer fans, just come on by. Either stop by the back home booth, and I'll be glad to chat a while, or come to these presentations, their PowerPoint presentations, and we can talk about how functional chickens are in sustainable lifestyles and the local foods movement. So, I'm just thrilled to my feathers about this. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah,
no
so
problem.
I'm just coming up to Beckley here, which is great. Nice little place to stop over. I'm going to see if I can't get a computer signal, a Wi-Fi signal, and be able to log on to the chat room. That would be awesome. So,
that would be very cool. We'd love to have you in the chat room. It's filling up slowly but surely like it does every day. And lots of great comments in the chat room. And, again, if you're listening live and have computer access, go ahead and join us. Just click on that Chat Now button. Sometimes the chat room automatically opens up just below on our webpage there at blogtalkradio.com. But, nonetheless, click on Chat Now. Take a moment to register. Get your own unique and fun creative screen name. But, well, of course, as always, we got Bard Rock and Bowen Manor. And Brit and Grits. We've got Dry Pond in there, East Dallas Dave, Egg Cell. Yeah, Fun Farmer, several guests in the chat room today. Welcome if you're a first-time listener. Hope you enjoy what you hear. Hidden Acre Quail. We've got KT. We got KPV. We've got Love for Poultry, MT Kathy, Penny, Rhode Island Ruby, S.A. Kim, Susie H., and, of course, Terry Nick. So thank you all for much. Lots of great regulars in there as well. So, if you have a chance, come on in and have a great time.
Isn't it wonderful how we've made so many connections and friends through the chat room? I mean, because we get together and chat just about every day, and it's like having a little coffee hour, just being able to share thoughts and comments behind the scenes, so to speak. But I just love the chat room. What a wonderful feature to radio. It's just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, make a lot of new friends, and of course, sometimes on fun, frilicky, fabulous Fridays, we learn a little bit more about people than we really want to know in the chat room. but we do have a good time. To each his own.
Know.
It takes all different types to make the world go round. But yes, you are correct. But yes, we had a really fun weekend. We're getting ready for this week. Today we have some very special guests, the creators of YourGardenShow.com, which are really anxious to talk about them and their vision and the reality of their new website, and talk about that and how that got all started. Tomorrow is another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter is the founder and owner of First State Vet Supply. And so tomorrow we're going to continue the talk, because even though we had a really good 2 weeks ago episode about salmonella, we just really hit the tip of the iceberg. So with all the developments that have been happening up at the Iowa Egg Farm, kind of tracking it back, seeing the studies of where they found the salmonella and possibly the cause, we're going to continue that talk tomorrow, not only just talking about that strain of salmonella, but also salmonella pilorum. And is there still a risk regarding that in our backyard flocks and show chickens, and why we still, at least one thing we test for at shows, and that would be it, and why do we still do that? So that'll be tomorrow's show. And then Thursday, we're going to be welcoming Richard Frudenberger with Back Home Magazine as well. This Thursday, I believe he's going to be available, even though it sounds like they've got a lot going on. And so that'll be
he'll be here. We're going to talk about hawks and owls. We decided to continue on with the predator theme, and so especially since this time of year with some migrations and all, hawks are especially could be a problem, and I know they can also be a problem in cities. So we'll be talking about hawks and owls and how to protect your flock from them.
That sounds like a great idea. And then of course this Friday, don't forget folks, Friday September 10th. We are going to be giving away that awesome chicken coop. Last time I checked, I think it was valued at about $400, somewhere between $350 and $400 from mypetchicken.com. It is the Password Collection for Poultry Protection Chicken Coop Contest. There will be 20 passwords Basically, how it's going to work this Friday is when we start the contest toward the end of the show, there will be a password also during the show Friday you'll have to add, but that'll make 20 secret passwords that we have announced. I'll announce yesterday's password since it was a holiday and we didn't broadcast later in the show today, as well as today's password. But there'll be 20 passwords that our listeners should have been collecting over the last 20 episodes. And on Friday, if you're the right caller, I don't even know what that's going to be yet, 26, 56, 103, if you're the correct caller and can recite all 20 passwords correctly, then you're going to win this awesome, beautiful chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. Now, it's valued at between $350 and $400 if memory served. It's really good for about 3 to 6 hens. So like someone says occasionally when I post a picture of it or whatnot and on Facebook, they'll say, well, I've got, 200 hens, that's not going to help me, or, oh, I've got, 40, and that's just a drop in the bucket. Well, I've got 35, but I'm going to tell you right now how I would actually utilize this chicken coop if I was the recipient and the winner. There's many ways you could use this chicken coop. You could use it as an isolation coop for your sick or injured birds when that occasionally happens. If you've had birds for any length of time, you occasionally may have a sick one. You may have an injured one, so you can use it as an isolation coop for your sick or injured birds. You can use it for an isolation coop when you bring new birds back to your farm or your home. 3 weeks in quarantine, make sure they don't have any snifflies and sneezies and anything else that might infect your current flock, so you can use it for that. You can use it actually for a little brooder. If you have the proper heating and whatnot for it, you can use it as a brooder. You can use it as a starter coop for your started birds. As soon as your birds are ready to come out of the brooder, they may not be ready to be incorporated, and they're probably not in with your regular birds and your flock, so you can use this as a transition coop for your started birds until they're about big enough to go and be put in with and incorporated in with your current flock. And you can use it as an incorporation coop. Put this coop inside your run with the other coop, and then let the birds start to socialize and get used to each other before you just let them free. So there's a countless, really, ways that you can use this coop. I don't care if you have 2,000 chickens, 200 chickens, or 2 chickens. You can use this chicken coop for many different reasons, regardless of how many you have. So collect those passwords. If you haven't been listening live to be able to collect them, or you've missed a few, don't worry. You can listen to this radio show. The archives are available at iTunes, podcast.com, zoom.com, and, of course, at blogtalkradio.com. You can just go back the last 20 shows and listen to the show somewhere between the beginning and the end. We'll have a secret password. I think maybe one of the shows, maybe 2 of the shows, we got so busy the password wasn't issued, so we issued 2 the next day. But regardless, 20 passwords will need to be recited this Friday the 10th. We'll be giving away some that great chicken coop and some other great prizes from our sponsors. Speaking of prizes, and today, towards the end of the radio show today, we're going to actually have 2 trivia questions for you, and we're going to have one is going to be for yesterday's prize, Monday, since we didn't have a show. That would be a Hen Saver hen apron from Crazy K Farm. So we'll have 1 lucky winner. If they know the answer to the one of today's trivia questions, they'll get a Hen Saver hen apron. And then, of course, being Tuesday, every Tuesday is sponsored by eggcartons.com. Let me actually see. I got an email, actually, from Scott. Let me see if it's in this email that I can actually open up. I'll have to go to it other way because I've got an email opened up that I'll need for the interview. But we'll have another great prize today. 2 prizes, 1 from eggcartons.com. So and I'm getting the questions here sent to me right now. So a couple of really good questions for today's chicken trivia contest. I know you're on the road, Pat, but I didn't know if you had any particular chickens in the news you wanted to share before we start that segment.
Well, I do. I've got 2 little mini newses, and this one is so cool. Thank you for asking me. It's Jim Bikes. Jim Bikes to generate electricity. there are more gyms have started using exercise bikes as a source of producing electricity. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. You're in there just pumping these bikes like crazy, going sometimes 26 miles, in a session, some of the more athletic people to do that. So anyway, there's a company called Green Revolution, and they have provided devices to convert the direct current created by pedal power into alternating current to be sent to the power grid. Now, how cool is that? The average bike cost per bike is about $1,000. Hopefully they'll be getting that price down a little bit, but about $1,000. And they say that four cycling classes can generate enough with 20 bikes. Four classes with 20 bikes could create daily 300 kilowatts a month. 300 kilowatts a month. That's equivalent to the power needed to light a typical home for about half a year. So if they can get this they can get this really down, the price down a little bit, and certainly if more and more gyms with it, as the cost of electricity goes up, I would think this would be a really cool item, and they'll probably start selling bikes already with this device on it. They said they've added devices to about 1,000 bikes so far in 60 gyms. So I'm hoping my gym will be one of them. I would feel so much better about pumping those pedals if I knew it was generating some electricity back to the grid. So the other one is just something that I've known about, but it's nice to read about it. Again, it's about black rice. I mean, sometimes we discount some of the rices, and the thing about black rice is it's inexpensive and it contains really high levels of antioxidants similar to those found in blackberries and in blueberries. And this is according to a study by the Louisiana State University. And they're saying just a spoonful of black rice bran contains more antioxidants than a spoonful of blackberries and blueberries. Oh, I love blueberries. So it's got more antioxidants, and it gives it to you with less sugar and more fiber. And it also has higher vitamin E. So that's something I'm going to start.
Let me guess. I'm waiting for? You're talking about this great black rice and so nutritious and so awesome for you, and then actually at the end of your little news story, we need to have a little disclaimer. Study paid for by Uncle Ben's.
No, Uncle Ben's just does instant white rice for the most part.
Okay. Study paid for by Veteran.
Yeah, but pretty soon they'll start putting shoe polish or something in the white rice to make it black so people
When I was in a different career, I would spout off studies on occasion, and you hear it. And then one study occasionally I would use in this training class was, what was it? I think orange juice has been shown to prevent certain types of cancer. Study paid for by Minute Maid.
You
gotta love it.
You've got to be aware who has interest in it. That's true. Well, this came off of WebMed. So I'm not sure who and the study was by a university, but even so, universities get funded by the industry all the time to do these studies. So you're right. Take everything with a grain of salt or a grain of black rice, whatever suits your fancy. Oh, dear. So that's all I've got. What you got in the news here, Whisper?
Well, 9 out of 10 poultry experts say they actually learned something from backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, study paid for by Chicken Whisperer, Inc. So,
that's good. That's really good.
Had to share.
Every day.
I have a few to share with folks. This one is a little bit of alarming for our listeners and friends up in Minnesota. Up there in Minnesota, we've got this comes to us from the Meat Trade News Daily, and it's USA Newcastle disease in poultry. A strain of Newcastle disease is being blamed for killing hundreds of wild birds in Minnesota and may pose a threat to Minnesota's poultry flocks, according to Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The specific strain of Newcastle disease, which is responsible for the deaths of nearly 1,000 gulls and 500 cormorants so far this summer, has been confirmed by the National Wildlife Health Center in Madison, Wisconsin. This particular strain of the virus poses a greater threat to domestic poultry flocks than less deadly forms of the disease, said Dale Lauer of the Minnesota Animal Health Board. Producers can take steps to protect their flocks, such as being very careful about who is allowed onto their farms. Biosecurity folks. Farmers should closely monitor their flocks for the disease, which causes partial or complete paralysis in birds, he added. To date, there have not been any reports of Newcastle disease in domestic poultry in the state, he said. And so right now it's just the wild birds, but we know about Newcastle. We saw the outbreak in California several years ago. 4 million birds had to be put down because of this Newcastle. And so I put this on our Facebook page. Folks, lots of great news at our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So that was the one I wanted to share you. So if you're in up there near Minnesota or in Minnesota, you want to take heed and just be careful. We should be doing this anyway, and using good biosecurity measures, especially when we visit other people with backyard poultry. Here's another one I wanted to share with folks. Arsenic in your eggs. Arsenic in your eggs. Let's see, this comes to us from author Dave Rittenborn, from Technorati, I guess it's called. Arsenic in your eggs, the untested risk that the FDA continues to ponder. Now, if you all remember back in July, we posted many times throughout the week about a family there. The kids or their children were tested positive for arsenic, and they we had the PhD on this radio show. The epidemiologist was here on the radio show and talking about the study, how it was conducted, how they found out about it. They're doing more studies. We will be reaching out to them again to get the new results of the new studies of the new families that have been tested that just don't consume quite as many eggs as the first family. But this came across the line this weekend. Arsenic in your eggs, the untested risk that the FDA continues to ponder. Now that the recent egg salmonella scare has passed, yeah, well, passed for who? The thousands of people that are still sick and feeling the effects, I don't think it's passed. But it says, now that the recent egg salmonella scare has passed and attention has finally focused upon the horrific conditions that are hidden within many large poultry farms, there is new evidence that your eggs may also contain arsenic. That is not new evidence. If it's new, then, boy, we really had some breaking news 2 years ago when we've talked about this. A potent toxin. Of course, they don't say that arsenic is natural, is a natural substance. It's found on the periodic table, then it's natural in our environment, in our soils. I even saw a report where leaves that break down and decompose actually have a form of arsenic in them, but a potent toxin, and it's all like based on the amount. There's a great quote, I can't remember who said it, but and this is probably ripping it apart, but it says something like the difference between toxic and healthy is dose. something a little bit more detailed than that, but that's basically what it says. The difference between toxic and healthy is the amount or the dose. According to a recent article from the Salt Lake City Tribune, the Utah Department of Health has connected significantly high levels of arsenic found in the urine of children to the eggs that they consume. The USD and the FDA have been aware for years of the presence of arsenic in poultry meat and liver, but there has been no significant testing to date of arsenic levels in eggs. Arsenic is present in roxazone, an antimicrobial treatment often included in the feed given to poultry and swine by many livestock producers. I've said this a million times. As far as I know, as far as I've been told, folks, that it is illegal to give any feed that contains the roxazone to egg-producing hens at any level, even the large farms. Now, I know what you're saying. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not done, but from my understanding and research and talking with folks, you can't give this to egg-laying hens, but it is given, and it's widely given to the broilers that are out there. It's in their feed because of it almost works like an antibiotic because it does kill some bacteria, but it also helps in the time frame of getting these chickens plump quicker, if you will. So that's probably one reason why the big commercial farms use roxazone in their feed. One, because it can kill some bacteria, and of course, again, it helps promote faster growth. But in 2004,
when I was back way back when studying animal science, this came up, at Purdue decades ago, and they said they were giving arsenic because it irritated the stomach lining a little bit, and it caused the chickens to eat more somehow or another. And I never quite understood it, but apparently it does cause them for some reason to eat more. And the other thing that's interesting, I'm glad you brought this up today because it just came over the wire about India is having a similar problem. This came over on the 6th. Mm-hmm. And let me just go into this briefly because it's happening worldwide, not just in the U.S. So we've got worldwide contamination of arsenic. This is from the Times of India. If I can just cut in a little bit because it just all fits with what you're saying exactly. It says, this is from Kolkata, K-O-L-K-A-T-A in India, and it's saying the harmful chemical, there's arsenic poisoning and the harmful chemicals is still affecting thousands through contaminated poultry products and meat. And this is according to the West Bengal University of Fishery and Animal Science. And they collected mutton and egg samples from the northern fringes all around the city, and they have more than five times the permissible limit of arsenic. And, of course, this is shocking. But here's, you know, this is the pharmacist in me coming out. Here's what arsenic does to you if you have it in too much of it in your diet. It interferes with cellular longevity by inhibiting a certain metabolic enzyme called pyruvate dehydrogenase. And what that does is basically it causes the cell to be disrupted and causes the cell to die. So it also prevents the use of thiamine, which is really bad because it kind of resembles a poisoning kind of a episode effect, and you pretty much lose energy. It's like you just don't have the energy to do things. Then the other thing, it raises lactic acid, which is of course what the muscles create when you exercise hard. And that can then lead to decreased potassium, which can then be life-threatening to your heart rhythms. You know, since you were a paramedic, you know about that, Whisper. So they estimate that more than 2,000 villages across 8 districts in the state of India can be affected. Now, how bad is that? I mean, why is anyone anywhere in the world putting arsenic in our food supply? What do you think?
I saw that, too. Yeah, I saw that too as well. And what and I got when we covered the story, and I still get this story because everybody comes up and says, "Well, I sure hope it's not in this food I'm using or that food I'm using or this food, and you know, the commercial food they may get to feed and seed for the backyard hens." And
right.
I'll give you what I understand right now. And I deem it to be true. And but the issue there is that even the feed company that these families were using out there near Salt Lake, this particular feed company, the feed company did not add this Roxazone to their feed. And so they can make that statement very clear and honestly. We do not add this to our feed. So it's coming from somewhere. Whether it be natural or not, we need to find out where. We need to nip it in the bud. But it may be coming from the crops, the bulk items that the feed company or companies may be using to make their chicken feed, whether it be from the corn or the soybean or whatever it's coming from, the bulk material that they're using. Maybe it's coming from the vitamins and minerals they're adding to this, to say the layer pellets or the layer mash somehow. But it's getting, and it may be getting into those naturally. Nobody's adding it. I mean, it could be naturally through arsenic from just the earth growing these products. So that's my understanding now, though I'm not an expert or a PhD or a nutritional scientist. From talking to everybody about this, that's my understanding right now, that it is a true statement when the food company says, hey, we don't know where it's coming from. We don't add it into our food. That's a true statement. I truly believe it to be true. But we still have a responsibility, I think, to go and track it down and find out where it's at. We will be contacting the PhD and epidemiologist that we had on back in July about this story. So she was going to be testing several more families that used the same feed but just didn't eat 2-3 eggs every day to see what their levels were based on, again, the amount that people were getting. Doesn't make it right, but they want to do some more tests. So we will definitely keep you informed with that. And last chickens in the news, the very last one before we go to break and bring on our special guest today, I'm excited to have, from worldpoultry.net, worldpoultry.net, gateway to the global poultry industry, red mites can carry over other poultry diseases. This is in the news here. Red mite can carry over other poultry diseases. Posted this, and everybody's, you know, keeps chickens. We try to keep you educated. The problem of red mites in poultry is known for many years, but new insights show that the red mite can harbor and carry over other pathogens as well. Newcastle disease virus and the bacteria, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, and salmonella have been isolated from the red mite. Particularly speaking, a farm with salmonella contaminated flock and co-presence of red mite can cause that the salmonella bacteria stay in the barn after rotation of flocks and will in turn infect the new birds coming in. This means that more measures should be investigated to eradicate the red mite in poultry production systems. This comes to us again just weeks after we had this big egg recall regarding salmonella, and they're talking about that now they're seeing salmonella as well as Newcastle and the disease that I can't even begin to pronounce, because if I could pronounce this disease, I would be making the big bucks. If I'd understand it, I'd be making the big bucks. But just sharing the news with you about, and this is important to us, is knowing the importance of good husbandry practices, making sure we take care of our birds and looking and checking for these mites. The red mite is a parasite of poultry and birds in general. The mites are blood feeders and attack nesting birds at night. After feeding, they hide in cracks and crevices away from daylight where they mate and lay eggs. Under favorable conditions, the life cycle of a red mite can be completed within 7 days, so populations can grow rapidly, causing anemia in badly affected flocks of poultry. The poultry red mite is an important emerging parasite problem in production premises for layers, which is responsible for large financial losses. So who knows? This could be a good source right here for a study to see maybe if they looked into that in the Iowa farm. So this was news to me, but it's another reason why we need to actually inspect our chickens. And like I said, there are mites that infect your chickens during the day. There's some, like the red mite, that are at night. So not only check during the day, lift up your chickens, inspect your chickens, look up under the wing, look around the vent area where it's moist. That's where you're going to see a lot of your mites, under the wing and around the vent. But then you got to do it after dark, folks. Maybe after the evening news at 11, 11:30, 10 o'clock, you go outside to the coop and you actually take a flashlight with you and give one of your chickens or a couple of your chickens off the roost there. And with that flashlight, again, check under the wings, check around the vent area and see if you can see the red mite. And then if you do have them, you need to deal with those appropriately. So that's going to wrap up our chickens in the news. What we're going to do is go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome the founders of yourgardenshow.com. In fact, your online radio show, you can go to the website now and see what it's all about. We're going to learn what it's all about here in a minute. We come back after break, yourgardenshow.com. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Mm-hmm.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I had a good bit of chickens in the news I wanted to share with you, so it took a little bit longer than expected. But nonetheless, that's why we have an hour and a half show due to popular demand. So our special guest today, we're going to bring on the line right now. I believe on the line we have Lisa Finnerty, and we also have Kristen Mobilia. I'm butchering both of those last names. But Lisa and Kristen, are you with us today?
I'm here. I'm here, Andy.
All righty. Perfect. And let's see. Is this Lisa or
this
Kristen?
This is Lisa from San
Lisa,
Francisco.
Yes. Okay. Do we have Kristen on the
Welcome.
Line?
Welcome. Yeah. I'm here.
How about Kristen?
I'm Anna. No, I'm here.
Oh, is Anna. Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I think we've got Anna Sariel, Mr. Chicken Dog from Los Angeles on the line.
That's right.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, great. So we've got Lisa and Anna and, of course, Pat. Okay, just wanted to make sure we had everybody on the line that was supposed to be on the line. That is absolutely perfect. Let's start with Lisa first, and, of course, we'll have Anna share. Lisa, if you'll share us a little bit about your background, and then we'll have Anna do the same, and then we'll talk about the website that y'all have, which is really, really interesting. I'm glad you've chosen to come on the show, and you can share this with all of our listeners, because I think it's really cool, actually. So, Lisa, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Thank you so much, Andy. I've just been fascinated by the show that you put together with all the experts. You've packed an awful lot of information in one brief moment between the arsenic and the black rice and the bicycles and the Newcastles. You are just moving through the information. I've got to hand it to you. And you're just one guy with a good staff. Your garden show is a social network, so we get to rely on lots of people to deliver the information. My husband Tom and I started this in it's a long and winding road, but the show launched at the end of May, and we have had not just untold success. We've had quite a fun time this summer, and have seen on the show chickens popping up left and right. Though it's a garden show and it's about people gardening in their backyards, everybody's sneaking in these pictures of cute poultry, which are And films of them, including Anna. Anna's got just an array of fantastic looking critters in downtown Los Angeles. So I thought.
Well, you know, the truth is that the chickens are actually master gardeners. They belong in gardens, and they can totally enhance gardens to make them more productive and more organic. So it's no wonder that chickens are popping up everywhere in gardens. And there's more to come. Just wait till we find out how to really use their skill sets and put them into work.
I'm telling you, they are the bug hunters extraordinaire, aren't they?
They are indeed. No, but they're natural fertilizers
too.
Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What was that, Anna?
They've got tremendous skills.
I said they make the best compost too. With their natural fertilizing techniques, it's great. We have the best, most fertile compost we've ever had since we have the chickens now.
They are, absolutely. They're great. They're great insect control. They're great great fertilizer, great composters themselves from your table scraps, which then they make into the fertilizer, which then you can put in your compost bin, which then you put in your gardens. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's amazing. But it's interesting to see. I'm at the website right now looking, and it's just tremendous, yourgardenshow.com. And when you get there at the top, you can look at gardens, plants, greenhouse. There's a blog, frequently asked questions, which is wonderful, videos. It's really, really cool. And when I first was introduced to the show, I mean, some of is that it seems like it's just kind of this great place you can go. Let's say on Monday you think to your wife, you know, I really want to do this to this area of the yard, or I really would like to do this to this area of the yard, or I really want to make a little blueberry, raspberry patch right over here, but I'm not really sure exactly how or what to do. I wish I could get some ideas. And wham, bam, yourgardenshow.com. You can go and see gardens from all over the world, what people have done in a small space, a large space, raised bed, in ground, no matter what it is, trellises, fence gardens, ponds, you name it, fence gardens, and you can get ideas right from the website.
And you can access those people. That's what is pretty interesting, because I think the people that are on the site believe that more gardens are better, and they want to bring forward all of the best practices to this new generation of gardeners and to people that have been gardening forever, bring new ideas forward. So I think that's what the sharing of information is what's so inspiring here. And you know, one of the people on the site actually has used chickens just to point out how fantastic they are to extend their growing season, because that chicken compost or the guano, I guess, can raise the temperature of the soil if put on early enough in the spring. So they start a little bit earlier. You get those kinds of ideas exchanged between gardeners. Of all the gardening resources that are out there, I think that other gardeners are the best, especially those that come from your same area. So I think, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot, and I'm a master gardener. Been gardening for 30 years. We have a small farm, and I'm learning tricks every day.
Mm-hmm. It's never ending, isn't it? Totally never ending learning.
Go ahead, Anna.
I agree with Lisa. I have a degree in ornamental horticulture, and I've been working in the commercial nursery industry for many years, and I still, every time I go online and I have conversations with people that are doing different things in their gardens, and I'm learning things from people every day, and that's so exciting in life to still keep learning, and that's what keeps you enthusiastic and excited about going out every day and gardening and learning new things and trying new techniques. And, you know, I was listening to your news and some of the things you were talking about while we were on hold, and I was thinking, well, isn't this why we're all looking to grow our own food and looking towards more sustainable ways of trying to minimize what we buy from sources that are unknown and really try and get as much of it as we can ourselves in our own backyards? It's just great.
Pat? We may have lost Pat. Pat, you still with
us?
Okay.
No, absolutely. I'm here, Whisper. I was just focusing on what she said. And and didn't want to cut in on anyone, but yeah, I mean, local foods is really where it's at, and it's not just the fact that it's local. Of course, it's also that it comes from living soils, that you know the soils aren't just, well, you know, as I've said before on the show, the definition of USDA organic doesn't tell you anything about the nutrition of the food nor the soil that it was grown in. It simply says that certain poisons were not used. That's pretty much it. So if you really want to get highly nutritious soils, as you guys know as gardeners, you got to start with living soils and healthy soils, and then it travels up the food chain. So absolutely, we're all singing the same tune and preaching to the choir.
You know, the healthy soil and the microbes in soil is the next frontier. I mean, I'm looking forward to that exploration. You know, forget about space. Just go, you know, just figure out what we've got here and make it as healthy and as it possibly can be. Because, you know, gardening is a local solution to a global issue. I mean, we all need that healthy air. We, you know, whether you live in Papua New Guinea or Rome, Italy, that air travels around the world. So it's to all of our benefit that we're all doing as much gardening and healthy gardening as we possibly can without ruining the infrastructure, without, you know, destroying soils and compromising watersheds. And I think that,
yep,
you know, people are like raising up and pulling themselves, saying, you know, governments can't do it. We've got to do it ourselves. You know, if, you know, who's going to steward this land, you know, around my yard? It's, you know, around my house. It's me. And, you
absolutely
know, we're pulling ourselves in and learning how to do it and exchanging information and trying to do it as quickly as possible, because time is, you know, that's our number one resource. So that, you know, and I think that's what your garden show tries to do. It tries to not truncate that. It's a wonderful exploration of how to garden, and there's a lot of inspiration and there's a lot of poetry and so on, and spirituality, but it also delivers good tools to people so that they can, you know, quickly, without wandering through a wad of information, they can get the answer that they need. I mean, it is, though it is user-generated content, we do have some kind of important tools in there at the base of all of it, where we have the Missouri Botanical database for plants, which is they're the top, and Cornell, we have 6,000 varieties of vegetables. Cornell University is the top. So, we have Mark Kane, who is fantastic. He was the garden editor for Better Homes and Gardens. So it's slightly curated so that it's pretty efficient to go to. And I must say that it, you know, because we are gardeners here, Anna and I and my husband Tom and Christian Mobilia, who you mentioned, that the people involved in the show are long-term gardeners. And we put a lot of our thinking into building things like the GLOG, which is the journal that is at the base of the site, where you can anyone that raises poultry or rabbits or dogs professionally can understand what this journal is. You know, when it's a timeline that has that's got two different views, a calendar view and a journal view, and you can tell exactly what happened every single day, you know, if you put it in there, and it accepts media and so on. So you can be your own reference point, you know, by going back and through your blog. And we've, you know, done some fancy-dancy stuff with the search engine, so you can find your own information kind of quickly and compare it to others in your same line of latitude or USDA zone or state, or, you know, we've allowed a lot of different kinds of searches. So, yeah, we're pretty excited, and we hope that we think that it's going to make better gardeners. And
I'm looking here now. It looks like
Andy, can I ask a question?
You betcha.
I just have a really quick question. Now, one of the things that we're really looking forward to and trying to connect with a lot of gardeners is different ways, research ways to integrate chickens with specific crops. And that would be something that your database would be especially useful for. For example, if you're growing corn, of course, you can't let the chickens in until the corn gets about knee-high. But once those roots are established, and this is true in a lot of crops, including okra, I found out this summer, then you can let a small number of chickens in. You don't want to really totally mob graze, but they will then totally eradicate the insects, almost eradicate them. Certainly the grasshoppers and the white flies and tomato hornworms or whatever might be going on. So that's the kind of examples we're trying to find at different stages in a crop's life. When do you keep the chickens out? When do you let them in? And, of course, they're always good to clean and glean the garden beds and then fertilize them for the next year. So
well,
that's something
that's
the
L on the line. Anna feeds her family of four from her backyard in Los Angeles with chickens.
All right.
It's funny that you asked that question because that's, you know, that's something we've definitely been experimenting with is when can I let them out and make use of their insect retrieving qualities and when are the plants a little bit too small. And, you know, we've had some failures. We've lost some crops to the hens, I have to admit. But I think that's one of the great things about the GLOG is that then we go in and make notes and next summer I'm able to go back and find all of the experiments, so to speak, all of the things we succeeded with and more importantly the ones we failed with and say, oh, you know what, those plants were too small in June when we did that. We need to wait another couple of weeks and we'll try again with a few hens and see if they're sturdy enough to handle the hens in there. So it's really nice to have an online, I mean, obviously I could keep track of it in a book, but it's so much better to have it online and it's all kept track. And when the next year comes around, it's all there for me, everything that I've kept track of. And I can hook up with other people that have chickens and glean from their experience and kind of add that to my overall database of knowledge and my success with using my hens in my garden. So it's really helpful.
That is so cool because one of the things that we found this growing season, it's not just qualitative, it's quantitative. And that is like you put four hens in a certain size plot, and they'll do great. But you let seven hens in there, and they'll destroy it. So I think there's a space as well as a number of chickens that can be used at any one particular time, and that's one of the things that for example, that they didn't do anything to my tomatoes. They don't like the taste of tomatoes. They don't have the leaves. They like the tomatoes themselves, not the leaves. But then my fence got a little break in it, and all of a sudden there were 15 chickens tromping around, and they did a pretty good number breaking the vines. But until then, I didn't mind the little Pulitzer one or two getting in there because they were doing a good job with getting the insects down. So that's what I mean about it. It's also, I think, a number. How many do you let in to 100 square feet? 10 will destroy them, but 3 or 2, they'll just do a good job.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And actually, I feel like we have a lot of different varieties of hen, and I feel like some of them are a little bit more careful, and some of them are, maybe it's an age thing, but some of them seem to be a lot more aggressive when they're scratching around than others. So that's another thing that I've been taking notes on is trying to figure out who are my best hens. I'm going to try and find like a little group that are the ones that get let out that I know are the best ones for not decimating my crops, but just going out there and getting all the insects.
Good point. That's an excellent point.
It's definitely been a long note-taking process, but it's great to have a forum to keep those notes in, and it's been really exciting. I'm looking forward to doing it again next summer.
Well, you can use hens with cold frames, too, and in greenhouses. So you can start a little cold frame experiment with letting a few hens in there for their body heat to keep the greenhouse warmer. We're going to maybe attach a little greenhouse to the coop this winter and see if we can't keep some plants going in there a little longer.
Well, are you gardening in Georgia, Pat?
No, I'm in Virginia, Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. We're zone 6B.
Okay, yeah. The so do you already have the greenhouse set up?
No, I don't have a greenhouse, but I was thinking about just making a little cold frame.
Right.
But there are people that are using chickens in greenhouses. They just keep them under the benches or confined to a certain area.
Huh.
In fact, Solviva did that, of course. And the chickens will give off carbon dioxide, and the plants need that, and they give off the oxygen, and the chickens give off body heat. So there's a lot of research that could be done in smaller backyard greenhouses. I mean, maybe 6 chickens is enough. Maybe 15 chickens would start causing the humidity problems.
Sure. Well, you know, that would be really interesting. You know, it's so in California, despite this backyard movement and growing your own veggies, and no place is more prominent than I think California, especially since it's got probably 4 crops a year. Most places can grow.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep any records at the state level of any of the food that's being produced in backyards.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that,
right.
And I don't know.
I don't think it's being done at the federal level either. Right? It's just an estimate. National Gardening Association does a survey, and they're the only ones I know of that really estimates the number of backyard gardenings.
Well,
we know that's probably low. I believe it was last year. I don't believe it was this year. Maybe it was last year when there was a really, really big chick shortage, baby chick shortage in the spring. I was calling around to the different hatcheries, one particular hatchery who provides chickens to a lot of these feed and seed centers across America. They were a little bit of alarmed at the limited number of seeds they had available to them for to carry in their feed and seeds to their customers. Some people were saying, I normally have 8 or 9 varieties of beans. I've got 3 varieties, and these are gone. They told me they're gone. I can't order anymore. This is it. And this was a couple of years ago. I think the last numbers I heard were about a 20% increase. I think it was officially it was 19% increase in seed sales, 19% increase. It coincide there with people having backyard gardens, but I was never asked, so they obviously missed me. But I think that number is considerably higher based on when I was either buying plants at one of the local nurseries or talking with people or going to shows or touring and talking to the number of people who just this year. It may have just been 3 or 4 tomato plants, but it was a good way for them to get started. Oh, I'm just getting a couple of tomato plants for the corner of the house. It's the only corner I get sun, this, that, or the other. But yeah, I think it's much more than 20% or 19%. I guess it was a couple of years ago. Even if it is just someone putting in maybe 3 tomato plants and maybe an herb garden outside their kitchen window or based on what kind of sunlight they have. But I agree. I'm kind of ready. One of these days, people are going to wise up. I've already seen a trend that has been proven that Americans are now going to smaller houses. They've come to realize that these 5,000 square feet, 6,000 square feet mini mansions is not hacking it. And not every child has to have their own bedroom. I mean, think about our parents and our grandparents and the way we were raised and they were raised and things like that. So I have seen a lot of information come across the wire. People are going to smaller homes. And then there, you know, hopefully that it'll soon to follow that we're getting rid of our lawn. Like Pat introduced to our show last year that the number one irrigated crop in America is fescue. Our Bermuda, it's grass.
Lawns.
And so, yeah, lawns.
30 to
so,
40
so
million it, acres of it. I mean, 30 to 40 million acres. There's no lack of farmland. There's just lack of vision. And that's coming.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I want to tell Anna, congratulations on feeding your whole family of 4 out of your backyard. I'm telling you, I'll be the first. We've had Goodyear gardens. We've had not-so-Goodyear gardens. This year was probably a not-so-Goodyear garden, but last year was an amazing garden. But I don't care if it's an amazing year with our garden or a not-so-amazing year. Even if it's an amazing year, I go outside and I lean up against the fence post and I look at my garden and I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, if I had to depend on my skills and what I get, you know, year in and year out from my garden, I would probably drop about 80 pounds and probably starve to death if I had to really rely to feed my family. And it's just me and Jen out of our garden. Like I said, you know, it's and then looking at our grocery bill at Whole Foods and taking a look at what we get there and we've actually researched into a CSA and of course local farmers markets to try to get away from going to the Whole Foods every week. But yeah, congratulations to you because I many a times I go out and I think man, if the truckers went on strike, if the gas, you know, the diesel, I mean, if I had to really rely, I mean, it just gives me so much more respect for our ancestors, you know, that truly had to live off the land. And here I'm thinking I've got this little gentleman's garden out back that I call it that, but Jen does most of the work in it, and thinking about feeding just me and her out of it. Wow. It gets kind of depressing sometimes.
Well, it is, you know, you do admire gardeners and people that have lived by their agricultural wits, because it truly is. It's, you know, you have to, I don't want to say outfox, because that's certainly not the right, maybe that's not the right verb, but anyhow, you have to work with nature, you know, and you're only one person, you know, with all that, you know, with just a limited amount of time and energy. So you really have to study nature and observe what's going on and make just the absolute best decision, most efficient decision, so that you can get what you need, and nature can get what they need. Maybe they need a few extra bugs in there to feed the passing birds or the chickens on the side, and you know, you need just, you know, 80% of that food crop, and that's the kind of counsel that I think we're getting from, you know, that we get to see on the site. There are some really spectacular gardeners that, you know, that kind of give you hope. But I think one of the other really interesting things about, you know, the modern day in America is that finally we are what we eat. I mean, I think people, you know, that go to Whole Foods, you know, are really proud to be spending all that money on really good food. I mean, they're not happy to be spending that kind of money, but they know why they're doing it. And people like Anna, you know, are growing, you know, it's, you know, at hours a day, you know, growing and working their own land, and are proud of it because they know that they're going to eat it. So I think that, you know, it used to be we are what we buy, or we are what job we have. Now I think it's coming around to we are what we eat. And I can see that with the chicken movement and the eggs, and you know, you're doing, you know, fantastic protein, you know, delivered right to the center of communities. I think that's just fantastic.
We agree. Totally.
I completely agree as well. You know what? We're about out of time, because we have actually some chicken trivia we've got to do. I've got a couple of passwords to give out for our coop contest. We're giving away a beautiful chicken coop this Friday, where somebody can maybe get started in keeping some backyard poultry and utilizing their chickens in their garden and whatnot. But yeah, exactly. And then we've got a couple of prizes today from our sponsors we're going to give away. So Lisa and Anna, it's been absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. Tons of information. You may or may not be in the chat room, but we had tons and tons of comments. It was like, wow, this is an awesome garden site. Somebody had stated, oh, I got in late. Thank goodness I did. What a great show. And, wow, look at this garden site. So I want to remind everybody, just go and visit.
We hope to reach more chicken owners. I'll tell you that, because we have the important part of the circle of life. So we'd love to hear more from your audience.
Perfect. You know, and I'm sure they can contact you through the website at Your Chicken Show. Your Chicken Show. There we go. How about that one?
We're on Facebook too, Andy. We're gonna go and friend you on the Chicken Whisperer Facebook page, and you friend us, and you know, and away we go.
Absolutely. I think that'll be awesome. I just want to say thank you very much for joining us. I'm sure we'll definitely have you back, but go and visit yourgardenshow.com. Great resource, awesome information. If you're going to do anything this fall gardening, fall planning, you can definitely get your ideas there at yourgardenshow.com. So Lisa and Anna, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Anna and Lisa. It's been great, really informative. I will get on your website pretty fast here.
Great. We'll look for you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, and Whisper, I'm going to have to bid adieu as well. I've got to go through this place where I know I don't get a signal. And I'm meeting for dinner tonight, so I need to get my tail going on. But thank you so much for letting me be on the show. It's always a treat. I never get tired of it. So anyway, I guess as a final thought, as always, may the flock be with you evermore.
Great. Thank you so much, yeah. Pat. You drive very, very safely. Have a great dinner tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow. I know you're looking forward to the show tomorrow. We'll continue to talk about it'll be Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown tomorrow, talking, continuing our talk from 2 weeks ago about salmonella, and specifically also tomorrow a segment about salmonella pylorum. Do we still need to be concerned with that? Why do we still test for that? If there may be other diseases we need to be concerned with that chicken shows, not just salmonella pylorum, and why we still test for that. So great questions for tomorrow's show. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Want to let everybody know that yesterday's password, we did not broadcast live yesterday. It was a holiday, Labor Day, but yesterday's password was vent. Yesterday's password was vent. V as in Victor. V-E-N-T. Vent was yesterday's password. We're going to go and start, and of course I'll issue today's password here in a minute. We got 15 minutes left. What I'm going to do is we've got some prizes to give away. We're going to start off with our prize from yesterday. Every Monday is sponsored by Crazy K Farm, makers of the Hen Saver Hen Apron, and we've got one of those to give away to a lucky winner today, of course, and so we'll be doing that. I'm going to issue the the trivia question right now. We go to break, then you can call in, and we'll have a winner. We're going to take lucky caller number 7. Lucky caller number 7. Here is the first question, and this is for the Hen Saver Hen Apron. And you probably have needed to be listening for this to answer this question, but here we go. CW, yours truly, the Chicken Whisperer, CW is going to a poultry show this upcoming weekend. In fact, it's going to be this Saturday, the 11th. We'll be broadcasting live from that poultry show this Saturday from 10 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. What is the city and state the show is located in? So that is that's the trivia question right now for the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Awesome, awesome prize. Caller number 7, lucky number 7. If you can tell me the city and state of the poultry show I will be broadcasting live from this Saturday, September the 11th. I'll actually be heading up there Friday afternoon for the broadcast. 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Call us right now. We'll get a winner right after this short break.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialists. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brensea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Great show today, by the way. YourGardenShow.com, the founders, were here, and it was just a great show. I encourage you to visit their website. And unless, let me get in here to the chat room. Nobody must know where I'm actually broadcasting live from this Saturday because we haven't got the first caller. So amazing. Nobody knows where I'm going to be broadcasting live from this Saturday. They don't know the name of the city or the state. So how about that? I thought at least somebody might be paying attention to the show when they listen in. I know Love for Poultry. She was like, what, are you kidding me? Yep, not a single caller. So let's try it again. If you know the city and state that I'll be broadcasting live from, there'll be a poultry show. In fact, it's the, well, I can't tell you the state because, anyway, the Poultry Club show name, because that'll give part of it away. But it is a American Bantam Association sanctioned double show. I can give you that much. And it is going to be this Saturday, September the 11th. We'll be broadcasting live from there from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I know somebody has to know. They're so busy in the live chicken chat room, they don't pay attention to where they can come out and get some awesome prizes for free. Because, yes, during the show and before and after, we'll be giving away some cool prizes from our sponsors there at the show. You can come by and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear that we'll have as well. So that's the question, is I'm going to a show this coming weekend, a poultry show. What is the city and state the show is located in? Of course, I know Brighton, I think, knows. And this is for, of course, a hen saver, hen apron. Okay, nobody knows that. We'll go on to the next question. No problem. The next question for chicken trivia is, let's see where it's at here. Here we go. All righty, we'll take again caller number 7. And this is for an awesome eggcartons.com. I was teasing in the chat room about this awesome prize because it's always so ever so popular when we give it away. Yes, today's prize, 'tis the season, fall is here, an eggcartons.com hoodie. Yep, an eggcartons.com hoodie, a sweatshirt hoodie. It is the high-quality gray hoodie, proudly displays the eggcartons.com trademark and logo. And that comes in all different types of sizes. Let's see, so we got large, extra large, and extra, extra large. And that's a value of $34.95, or if you're a 2X kind of guy or gal, $37.95 value. And, of course, that's shipped right to your front door. Yep. And the question is, caller number 7, what is the name of the prominent middle uppermost curving pair of long feathers in the tail of a mature male fowl? What is the name of the prominent middle uppermost curving pair of long feathers in the tail of a mature male fowl? That's what we're looking for. Caller number 7, Love for Poultry, just posted it, the question that is, in the chat room, as well as the number to call in. Caller lucky number 7, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. One more time, what is the name of the most prominent middle uppermost curving pair of long feathers in the tail of a mature male fowl? That's what we're looking for. Caller number 7 at 347-637-3237. If you know, again, that's 347-637-3237. If you know, and you're caller number 7, you're going to win this awesome eggcartons.com hoodie to wear all around, all fall, all winter, all early spring, hoodie, sweatshirt. How awesome is that? These were so popular last year. I know every time we actually were giving them away, everybody wanted one. So we're going to go over here to the switchboard and see who can tell us the answer to that question. Just a reminder, tomorrow we're going to welcome Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, talking about salmonella and specifically Salmonella pylorum. Thursday, Back Home Magazine show with Richard Frudenberger talking about, you heard it today from Pat, hawks and owls and how to protect our flocks from those. And then, of course, Fun Friday, this Friday, we're going to be giving away an awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, which brings us to today's secret password, which is crop. Not the kind of crops that you grow in your backyard, but chicken crop. Okay, that's today's secret password. We heard yesterday's secret password was vent, and today's secret password, of course, is crop, C-R-O-P, crop. And so maybe you'll feel lucky on Friday, and you can call in, be the right caller, and recite all 20 passwords we've issued. And then you can win, if you're the right caller and recite them all correctly, an awesome brand-new chicken coop valued between $350 and $400 plus shipping right to your front door. Some assembly is required from MyPetChicken.com. That's MyPetChicken.com. All righty. Looks like a little bit more people know the answer to this question versus the first one. But maybe we'll have time to go to the next question, if so be it. So caller number 7. Give me 1 second here. Let me get this number down. Caller number 7. Okay, here we go. Let me get over here to the switchboard. All righty, caller number 7. You're calling in and you're live. Calling in from area code 216. Area code 216. If you'll state your name and tell us what state you're calling from, please.
Hey, this is Steve from Ohio.
Steve from Ohio. Very good, Steve. We thank you for listening. And I'm going to repeat the question here. Get over here to the chat. What is the name of the prominent middle uppermost curving pair of long feathers in the tail of a mature male fowl? And your answer, Steve?
Are those the sickle feathers?
That is correct. Sickles or sickle feathers, that's exactly what we're looking for. And, of course, your answer was just posted in the chat room by Love for Poultry. So congratulations, Steve. You've won an eggcartons.com hoodie, which is ever so popular. It's got the logo and the trademark logo there. So we'll be I'll be calling you after the show, getting your – are you on Facebook, Steve?
I am indeed, and I'm in the chat room. Okay. I'm Spoggy in the chat room.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, what you'll do is save me a little bit of time and a phone call and whatnot. If you'll, and I don't know if you're, I know you follow us probably on Facebook, The Chicken Whisperer, but just go to my personal page. You can look me up, Andy Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. Mm-hmm. And if you'll just basically Facebook message me your shipping address, I'll get that over to Scott at eggcartons.com, and they're really good. They'll probably get that out to you this week.
Okay. Okay.
That's perfect. Great.
I would be more than happy to do that.
That'll be great, and we appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and congratulations.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy the show.
Great, thank you. Hey, you have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, so congratulations to Steve. And one more time, if anybody can tell me, because we have about 3 or 4 minutes left, if I can see the phone lines light up, we'll take, again, caller number 7. If you know the city and state that I'll be broadcasting live from this Saturday, I'm attending a poultry show this Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you can tell me the city and state of the show where I'll be broadcasting live from, you're going to win a hen saver. If not, we'll save it over for a Facebook fan contest. Yes? We have all kinds of contests on Facebook as well. That's why you need to join us there. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Come on, join us. 6,000 plus fans strong, and we will actually have, we'll have a Facebook fan contest from Crazy K Farm and the Hen Saver Hen Apron after the show sometime this afternoon to see if we can't get a winner. And we may have the same question. We may have a different question. So that's what we'll probably do with the Hen Saver Hen Apron prize for today. So we've got yesterday's password again was event. Today's secret password is, of course, crop. It's kind of maintaining those because we're going to give that awesome chicken coop away this Friday. All righty, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed the show. I sure did. We welcome folks from yourgardenshow.com. Great site. Go take a look. If you have any ideas about your backyard, side garden, front yard, whatever, they've got it there, I assure you. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.